America. The Duke of Sussex's lawyers had argued at the High Court in London that his children weren't safe here without protection. He's no longer a working royal, which our royal correspondent Laura Bundock says formed a significant part of the government's case.
It meant there was a material change to his position, that unlike the, you know, the King, Prince William and other senior royals, he wouldn't get automatic security, that his would be decided on a case-by-case basis. And so that doesn't mean that Prince Harry comes to the UK and has no security, but it isn't automatic.
The Northern Ireland Secretary says the government remains committed to the Legacy Act, despite a court finding the immunity law is illegal. A judge ruled a block on Troubles-related prosecutions won't contribute to reconciliation in the region. Alexei Navalny's wife says she's not sure if her husband's funeral will be peaceful or not as she reveals to the European Parliament details of his abuse. It's been confirmed for Friday. The Kremlin critic died in prison. Yulia has told politicians in Strasbourg that Vladimir Putin is capable of anything.
On his orders, Alexei was tortured for 3 years. He was starved in a tiny stone cell. Cut off from the outside world.
Moscow denies involvement. Ministers have confirmed they're thinking about extending the notice period of a major protest to 2 weeks. The Home Secretary suggested pro-Palestinian campaigners should halt demos, saying they've made their point. The boss of Kellogg says poor people should eat cereal for dinner. Chief Executive Gary Pilnick, who earns £3 million a year, has been called out of touch. And Ray says she's so honoured and blown away to be receiving her first ever Brit Award. The singer's been named 2024 Songwriter of the Year ahead of this weekend's ceremony. That's the latest. I'm Anna Bates.
This is Phoenix FM.
Weather on Phoenix FM. Proudly sponsored by SEHBAC, the award-winning home improvement company for windows, doors, conservatories and extensions.
Right, the weather for today, 11 degrees, drizzle and a gentle breeze. Probably going to get some rain around 10 o'clock tonight, but pretty overcast. And it's going to be like that for the next couple of days. Sunday's looking like you might get a little bit of the much-needed sunshine.
Weather on Phoenix FM. Sponsored by SEHBAC, the award-winning home improvement company, proudly serving Essex for over 50 years. Contact us on 0800 666 444 or visit sehbac.com for help with your home.
Now, if you love music and live music, you're in for a treat. Paolo Morena, aka the Mighty Small, is in the studio. He is a Chelmsford-based singer-songwriter and looper, and also writer of books now as well. So he's joining us live in the studio, going to play a few tracks and also talk about music industry. If you're interested in that, as well, of how you can set yourself up and all sorts of things. So it's great to see you.
Oh, we're on. Right, cool.
Yeah, we are. What are you doing looking through?
Sorry, I'm messing
up. He's reading a book. What are you doing?
I'm reading a book. I'm very well. Thank you very much. It's lovely to see you. Lovely to be back. Great to chat.
I can't remember the last time you read. It would have been probably a couple of years ago. And
was it that long ago?
It probably was, jeez. Yeah. They should be. Are they plugged
I'm gonna,
in?
I'm going
to. Can you hear? Is that nice? Can you hear that? Oh, no.
It's
when you look at the you're doing a Scott Ross.
I am. For some reason, I just felt like I needed headphones.
Can you hear? Right?
Yeah, is now that, I can.
There you go. That's nice.
I'll get
there
closer
go.
To the microphone. Hello.
That's nice. There cool. we go. I can hear you nicely. So you come from a musical background. Tell us about your background, music.
Yeah,
you've got a musical family.
I have a musical family. My side. My father's side. There was the family band. So my uncles, my father, my grandfather, they all had day jobs. They were hairdressers and mechanics during the day, and in the evening they would go out and play on the Brentwood scene, the Meads Ballroom many, many moons ago, and many other places as well. And that's actually where my mother met my father. She was a groupie, came along to one of the gigs and met him there. My father played guitar and bass guitar and sung. My uncle Tino played accordion, and my uncle Alf played the piano, and my grandfather played the drums, and they would get up and play on that. And then on my mum's side of the family, my grandfather Sid, they were sporty and musical. So he worked for Chapels of London, and he also played bugle and French horn in the army. But he also had his uncles. So his uncle would have been Stanley Earle, played for West Ham and Arsenal. 1920s,
yeah.
And then his father Harry Earl played in 1890 something through to the 1910 for what was then the London Ironworks, and he was a goalkeeper and also quite a comical character. He used to write limericks for the local press. So there's lots of connotations in musical bits and pieces and crazy.
And very creative family, because your son, who I remember only being a little tiny...
GG, Gabriel.
Is now... he looks exactly like you as well.
Does he?
He does, doesn't he?
Sorry,
he's all grown up. How old is he now?
He's 22 this
year. Wow, he's not, is he?
He is.
Wow.
It's frightening, isn't it?
And he's creative. He's in the
He's been working as a film producer and a director, cutting his teeth that way, and now he works with Willen E as a YouTube producer as well, so he's been doing that too. He's kind of a jack of all trades. He cut his teeth on Netflix shows like Catherine, and he worked on Silo as well, which I think is an Apple production.
Yeah.
And just here's a trick, right? He was really into, I think it was Arrested Development, the TV show, and he found out when they were filming a London edition, and he somehow was like, we're going to go and find out where it is, and he went up to London. This is in like February, a few years back. Scoped out where the film was going to be and just hung around the set with his mate Jimmy the whole day. And by lunchtime, they were chatting to the security guards who were bringing him cups of coffee because it was freezing. By early afternoon, they were chatting and had met the cast. And then by the end of the day, the producer and director came over and were like, right, who are you kids? What are you doing hanging around? And they're like, oh, we want to get into film.
Mm.
And he was like, right, here's my email address. Call me Monday morning. Email me Monday morning.
Wow.
So he did. Bless him, and that got him an opportunity to go and work on a TV show. So it does happen.
Yeah.
You know, just go scope out and be charming and just polite and hang around and you know, who knows.
Now we're going to talk more about the music industry, and also because I have a lot of musicians in, and as I've always said, you can't just be a musician now because you've got to promote yourself. That's
right.
The other thing, you can't just be that quiet musician. We are going to talk about, because you've got lots of advice on that, but you've got your track, The God of Small Things. It is when I heard it for the first time, I was like, wow, and because it's, for me, it's different from all the stuff you've done
really?
Before. Think you can tell it's you, but I think it's moved away from the music that I'm used to hearing from you. So,
good.
Yeah, you've got a new album coming out.
Yes.
Or is it out?
It's not out.
Is it out in March?
It's the single that you're listening to now I'm going to release in March, end
always
of March.
Always playing things too early.
No, I get it too early. No. I do that because I want you to play it early. That's absolutely fine. I love giving it to you guys. It's important that we get it out there. The album is a work in progress, and I've got a title for it, which is I think I've got a title for it. You know how these things are; they're going to change, and that is rumours of my demise have been greatly exaggerated. that's my working title at the moment.
Yeah.
I might abbreviate it somehow, but I've got I have Moleskine journals that I write my lyrics in, and every time I write an album or a story, I start a new journal, and sometimes songs get dragged from past journals, and they kind of keep. You must know this. You know, you have an idea and you go, I'm going to save that, and I rewrite and it appears and they appear again. But what I've tried to get into the habit of doing now is going out to open mic nights and just trialing some of these songs, which is something that I never used to do, only because I don't even know why I didn't used to do it. I think because we were playing lots of gigs and, you know, you always have to have a tour and you're promoting the shows and that. So now I try and turn up randomly in places and just trial these things out. So that's been really, really helpful, and I've enjoyed doing that massively. So now I have these songs. I still haven't decided on which ones are going to be on the album or not, and who's going to be recording on them and working on them, but that's kind of how I go about doing all these bits and pieces.
And it's a full album. It's not an EP, it's a full album.
No, I'm going to do an album. I don't, you know, come on. The art of writing an album is something that we mustn't lose. You know, I know that we have singles, and EPs are great, and I appreciate the idea of singles, especially with the download and streaming market that's out there and has been out there recently, but I think that's all going to be coming to an end, not an end, but that's going to be evolving into something else soon. And I think there's massive longevity in the idea of an album and the identity of an artist, and that's something that we'll talk about later. But
so we're going to have some music.
Am I going to play?
Yeah, of course.
Oh,
you are.
Cool, okay.
Unless you want to join in, Roy.
Yeah, everybody grab an instrument. Let's just grab some things. Okay, let's do that.
Yes. Tell us about the song you're going to play.
Okay, so where do I start? I'm going to start with this little punky tune that I wrote a while ago, which has just been... I love... It's called Watching the World Go By, I wrote the lyrics. I keep writing verses for this thing. It's got about 27 verses, but I picked out the ones that I like, and it really is just... The what happened to punk and the people who played punk and where it all is now. So anyhow, this is called Watching the World Go By.
Sitting on the fence of a bin, there's the stones fly overhead from each side.
ducking the views of their political muses while the wind blows through the holes in my shoes, using history's bitch to scratch a vicious itch to justify the hurt and the pain. The easier task is wearing blame as a mask when the answer is a costly aim. Your safety pins rattle the punk within, but comfort's now a privilege gown. I'm watching the world go round. I'm watching the world go round. I'm watching the world go round. I'm watching the world. That's evolution, baby. Of confusion while the soldiers marching over my head load up on their bullet illusion, 'cause the ones in suits, they said what they said. No, there is never enough of an existence of stuff that we can use to fill our empty desires. You can't get very car in this broken car when the morons have stolen the tires. Oh, the moral sin keeps me collapsing in. I find strength in the beauty of sound. I'm watching the world go round. Whoa! I'm watching the world go round. I'm watching the world go round. Whoa! I'm watching the world.
We've got Roy here because he can do the extra little bit of a
yay. I'll do it as well.
That was fabulous.
Good audience.
Lovely. And thank also you. When you know as you're a looper,
yes,
when you do that live, you would probably put, would you be doing the drums and
yes.
the keys and everything else?
I have it goes nuts at the end, so I'll loop that bit at the end, like yeah. into a full punk sort of kick ass punk. Sorry, I shouldn't swear, but...
Oh, yeah, sorry about that. That was a bit of a swear word. Kick bottom. I'm sorry, I apologise for that.
I love... It's the lyrics that you've got to get bang on with that, because it's I enjoy singing about that. There's a real story to tell there, but, yeah.
And it's great, just even with the guitar, because you've got the light... I always say you've got the light and shade, you've got great voice, because you've got a powerful voice, and then you can sing very softly. So even with the guitar, it's got the interest.
Ooh, I feel like you should feel that... With a good tune, you should be able to pull people in a little bit and then blow them away.
Yeah.
You should feel like you're getting beaten up.
Looping. People out there that might not understand what looping is... gig where you're doing looping.
Yes, so I use two pedals. I plug all my instruments via a mixing desk into, and that enables me to grab any instrument, and as I'm playing a part, I can record it. And then when I press play on the recording, it plays it back seamlessly over and over again. So as long as you get the first loop, it all stays in time, and then I can drop other instruments in over the top of it. So I have two pedals. My vocal is on a separate looper, so I can record that separately. And it's just the fine art of creating a large noise as one human being.
Yeah.
And that's something that I really enjoyed doing. Very greedy, but I love playing instruments. I love playing bass and drums, and I took up piano a little while ago, and that's been a real eye-opener, and I've enjoyed playing that massively, and it's kind of opened my repertoire a bit more. And I do play with other musicians as well.
Yeah.
I'm not like Billy No Mates, but it's just one of those things that, you know, you could create such a massive sound, and it's so much fun.
Yeah.
And also it's one of those things I found that when I'm going out and playing, especially in the era of trying to make a living out of this in the modern day,
yeah.
I've been able to keep myself afloat by having something that's visually entertaining as well, because I do look like a bit like trying to think of a good example, like Charlie Chaplin, and sweating like a madman as grabbing things and trying to make sure there to catch the. So it's visually very interesting as well, and I've been able to eke out a living doing that. So
a question I've been asking lots of musicians over the last year is, do you ever feel that when you're songwriting that a song comes through you from the universe and you write it so quickly that you're like, where did that come from?
Funnily enough, the Gospel Things. Yes. Yes, it does. I was ill for a while. I've been suffering with an illness with my foot called Burgess disease, which has kept me kind of out of my studio and away from things. I you know when you're ill and you feel that kind of ill inside, almost cold inside, like a flu-y kind of feeling? I couldn't get over that for like a good month. And it was really depressing me. And then I was like, you know what? I'm tired of feeling like this. I'm going to just go to my studio, turn everything on, and just have a go. My kids helped me set a few bits and pieces up. I plugged everything in, and I played for about 8 hours. It was in so much... I mean, it wasn't in so much pain. The pain was irrelevant.
Mm.
The joy of playing... I played for seven, eight hours, and my son came in like halfway through and was like, are you all right? You know, I mean, you've disappeared for half the day. We just want to check you're still alive and everything's okay. And I was like, oh my God. I was in tears for moments. I was in manically laughing for moments. You know, bearing in mind, I was still on a lot of medication to try and clear up my head. But it was great. I mean, nothing had touched the sides like music did. And I was in there, and I... had the idea for God of Small Things, and I obviously read, I don't know if you've read the book, The God of Small Things is a book, which is a wonderful book, I can't remember the name of the author, and I'd read that a few years before, and it's nothing to do with the song, it's just I always loved the title, and obviously being the Mighty Small, which is really, and that name came from being one person, creating something bigger than, greater than the sum of its parts, as it were. That idea of the name came from, and with the looping it seemed relevant. It just kind of clicked into place, so the lyrics sort of just happened and it kind of bubbled into place with that. So yes, I do, there's a prime example of it. I think Saturday Night, you and I worked on together and you sang on, it was just one of those three chord turnarounds that just bopped along, and it just kind of automatically took place.
Mm.
It's kind of like divine intervention, isn't it? And that's one of the wonderful things about being musical and about picking up an instrument, and why I encourage people to do it. Whether you don't have to release anything or produce anything for the public, it can be incredibly personal. But as a healing and a way to heal and a way to get your mind out of the fog and away from negativity and all this kind of stuff, there is no better thing, in my opinion, than music.
Now, you've actually written a book.
I have.
So you have been busy.
I've been busy. I did that in COVID, yeah. Well, and again, from that, what we were just saying, that principal idea was a friend of mine, a guy I know called Pud Christmas, who's a lovely bloke.
What a great name.
Isn't it?
Isn't it
just
name?
Pud? Yeah, Christmas. No, it isn't, but...
Oh, wow.
Well, Christmas is, but his surname is, but everybody really called him Pud, so...
Yeah.
Yeah, Pud Christmas. He writes fantastic reviews, and he's not a reviewer, I think he works for insurance, I have no idea, or accounting or something, but he used to come along to loads of my shows, and he would always write the most incredible review, and I used to say to him, you should be a writer.
Mm-hmm.
So he sent me some lyrics once, and was just, you know, can you add these to some music for us, and I did, sent them back to him, and I think he used one of the songs to propose to his now wife, and it just got me thinking about the processes that we went through, and I used to take my live looping rig into colleges and schools and teach kids, because you can literally create a song there and right here. Here's the idea, and the concept of taking a concept and within a few hours actually having a finished song that they could listen to just blew people's heads away. So that's where the idea for doing a book for anybody, it's called The Ultimate Absolute Beginner's Guide to Writing a Song.
Yeah.
And it really is it's like if you've never imagined yourself ever writing anything? And there's an option to do it on guitar and piano, and also an option to go, well, I'm going to play an instrument. I'm never going to play an instrument, so I'm just going to stick bits of loops together and create a song that way. I show you how to do all of those things, and obviously we delve into the concepts behind verses and choruses and bridges and how to write a melody. And but I keep it really stupid simple, because that's how I wrote, and that's how I write and how I need to write, with the idea of just making it very inclusive. And yeah, it's available on my website. It's a digital download. And now I'm putting together videos around the book, because people have asked me, and gone, well, could you just show us how to strum a guitar? Would you mind going over the strumming idea again? So I've been sort of shoehorned into doing that. And I'm loving that. You know, it's I'm amazed and massively humbled by anybody who comes back to me and has any interest in anything I do, as I'm, you know, as a musician, because we get wrapped up in this kind of thing, don't we? And it's very easy to be, you know, I'm too old now to have an ego, or at least that kind of an ego. So to have anybody interested in anything I have to say, or anybody interested in anything that I'm producing, is just massively humbling, and I'm really pleased. So,
and it's good, but it's not friends and family. We love friends
absolutely,
and family.
Absolutely, yeah.
But when they come back, you get a stranger going, I really like what you're doing. You go, do you? So, do you? What's your name? Where do you live?
Yeah. Portland, Oregon. Oh, my God. Someone in Portland, Oregon's listening to something I did. How mad is that, you know? Or wherever in the world. And now we have that technology that can, or we have for a number of years, that could connect us in so many ways. I find that amazing, and that wonderfully
I think we should have some more music. What do you think, Roy?
I think so.
Shall I?
Roy's agreeing again. What song are you going to play next?
Oh, that's a good question. Okay, so this one I do live, and it's sort of like Echo and the Bunnymen meets the Stone Roses. But obviously I'm not going to be able to do that on an acoustic guitar. But it's called May You Never Lose Your Wonder, and it goes like this. If child, your curiosity went wild through rain and thunder cloud. May you never lose your wonder. Your passionate youth, full of spirit and juice, when life's storms hit you. May you never lose your wonder, wonder, wonder. It's the why of it all. It's the why of it all. Don't laze in ignorant slumber. May you never lose your wonder. Star, you're always close to my heart. When you seem lost and afar, may you never lose your wonder. And spirited girl, climb on top of your world. And when life's lines begin to show, may you never lose your wonder. Wonder, wonder, it's the why of it all. It's the why of it all. Don't laze in ignorant slumber. May you never lose your wonder. Oh, 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 oh. Sweetly
of this fool. Yeah, the mightiest of smalls. He gave love his all, and he never lost his wonder, wonder, wonder.
That's fabulous. Now, we're going to take a quick break, going to do some ads, and then we're going to come straight back with more from Paolo.
Thank you.
Community radio for Brentwood and Billericay. This is Phoenix FM.
The directors and management at Brentwood Town Football Club wish to offer you an invitation. Come and join us at the Arena Brentwood and support your local team. We're your local community club, and a warm, friendly welcome awaits you. Brentwood Town are looking to mount a serious push for promotion this season. Admission is only £10 for adults, and accompanied children under 16 are free. Entrance is just £5 for concessions and students, and unaccompanied under 16s can get in for only £3. So join us and be part of our journey.
Are you looking for a reliable local travel agent to book your next holiday? At Not Just Travel Brentwood, we can book tour operators such as Jet 2 Holidays, TUI, Hayes Travel and many more. We package any type of holiday together with full atoll and APTA protection, giving you complete peace of mind. Visit our website, dinaandwarren.notjusttravel.com, and let us take away the stress of booking that dream getaway.
Want to get the home improvements you've always dreamed of without breaking the bank? Thanks to SEHBAC, you can now transform your home for less. We're offering up to 40% off our extensive range of high-quality windows, doors, conservatories and extensions. Plus, 2 years interest-free finance available. Get the inspiration you need and breathe new life into your home at a price you can afford by visiting your nearest SEHBAC showroom or SEHBAC.com. Terms and conditions apply.
Phoenix FM.
Now, I'm joined in the studio by singer-songwriter extraordinaire Paolo Moreno, all the way from Chelmsford, plays all over the country. Fantastic Looper has a new album coming out very soon, and we've been playing The God of Small Things on the show. We got it early because it is being released in March. You just heard him playing live there. Nice bit of filming there by our brand new presenter, Roy Tysack.
Thanks very much.
You can get a bit closer, Roy, if you like.
Absolutely.
There we go. You're going to be doing Thursdays, aren't you?
I am indeed, starting not tomorrow, but next Thursday.
Yeah.
Birthday, I believe, which
it
will
is.
Be very nice, a nice way to celebrate. And I'm really looking forward to it, and I hope everybody can tune in and hear what I've got to say and what I've got to play.
Excellent.
And, keep it Phoenix.
There we go, he started already. That's Roy, it's going to be here. Tysack on a Thursday, starts next week, and a brand new show. Well, it's 1, 2, 3. It's your show, isn't it, Bob?
Well, it's not exclusive.
It's not exclusive,
show,
but there's
no,
four
but
presenters.
Yes, we've now got four presenters on 1, 2, 3.
Mm-hmm.
We've got Scott, of course, who does double. He does two shows a week, and
Patrick
on a Friday and me on a Wednesday. And how are you feeling?
I'm fine, thank you. Thank you very much for the banana.
You sure
it's National Strawberry Day, and yet you opened your bag and brought out a banana.
I know. Well, I didn't have any strawberries. So, but you see, I just wanted to check in on you because normally me and Paolo shouldn't be in the same room together with a lady because it's just too much for them. You know?
You're both, all three of you, very handsome.
And you've got Roy as well.
I know.
Thank you for including me.
I'm overwhelmed.
Left out.
Now, we were talking about off-air about the music industry. I know that a lot of musicians can write music. It's all doing the production. You've got to get somebody in. I know you do everything yourself, but you've got to get produced. You've got to get it mixed. Then you've got to maybe get physical copies of CDs if you want to make some money, merchandise. And it isn't just about being a songwriter anymore. And you were saying about, you know, what people need to do, and it's especially important to get emails.
Well, yeah, here, what, I have to tell people what to do. But so in my experience, you've got two things. You've got the music business and you've got the business of music. And they're two very different things. So obviously, the music business is about writing material and writing songs and the wonderful processes that come along with that. And it's joyous. I love producing material. I love playing instruments. I love writing songs. All of those things are just wonderful. And then on the flip side, you have the business of music, which is the how do you get your stuff out there? Really, it's about marketing and sales. And one of the things we're seeing, certainly in today's society, is how quickly things like social platforms come up and appear and disappear, and how quickly the music scene in many ways changes, especially with the idea of streaming. So one thing we're teaching and I'm trying to install in a lot of the younger people and well, anybody who I work with, is the concept of owning your mailing list, which is, when you think about it, emails, phone numbers, these are the kind of things that we have for a lifetime, or at least for the majority of your lifetime. We don't really change those things very often. So the importance I'm trying to instill in people is to collect these and to start interacting on a personal level, one through your email, through newsletters, and communicating with your fan base that way, and taking back control from that point of view and perspective. And you can still put stuff up on Spotify, on platforms like that, but as we're seeing it becoming harder and harder to make money in the industry that way, there's a certain joy in being exclusive and taking your fan base with you. And that's something that I'm seeing from in every walk of life, not just musicians, sports celebrities, actors, authors, just about having that personal connection with people. And now that communication is so free and so available on a global scale, it makes perfect sense trying to collate those email addresses so that you have that. And then offering special one-off opportunities or limited edition versions of things, all of those things are massively important, because you just don't know where an artist is going to end up. You could end up owning a Van Gogh. You could end up owning a Bowie original, you know, or something along those lines. So there is incentive for a fan or somebody who follows an artist to pick up on that and to sort of get in there early, if you like, and own a part of history. You just never know. And that, to me, is something that's really important. And will stand you in good stead if you can do that.
And also, as a musician, you want to be able to earn money, and that's the best way to actually monetize what you do. And and people sometimes say they come down to different gigs or you see different musicians. And my sister said about a guitarist, Tommy, who was playing at Uber Jam. She went, "Why isn't he famous?" I said, "But you don't know. Maybe he is, because he might have 100,000 followers that buy every single thing he does, but he's not out in. He's not like a Beyonce.
Yeah.
There's only so many spaces for the big sort of
and
artists.
And they're tiny percentages, right? Yeah. The top tier who are making billions and billions and reaching it seems reaching everybody and are on our platforms all the time. That's a percent of a percent. That's like a fraction of a percent of the music industry. So if you think of it in these terms, what you really need is to have a good income. I mean, an income where you can afford to have a mortgage, for example, is somewhere in the region of 50 to 75,000 fans or email addresses. And then to be able to communicate with those people and to be able to release something, let's say an album and a maybe an album and a couple of videos and perhaps even a book or some imagery once a year, and for a portion of that to buy into that. And you can make good money. You can make enough money to, which would be the same as working a sort of £30,000 a year or £40,000 a year day job. But it does take work, and it does take hard work and effort, and you have to be creative on every level, I think, in some ways. Or if you're in a band, utilize the creativity within a band. So some of you might write music, some of you might make pictures. Find that sweet spot that works for you, and then interact with your fan base, and just that's the best way to get longevity into your career. And you know, like you say, some of my favorite artists, most people have never heard of, and will never hear of, and their music and their material will be around for years and years to come. But that's the beautiful thing of it, right? Leaving that legacy, to me, is just, what else are you going to do with your life?
Yeah. Because once it's out there, it's out there. Exactly. Somebody can, you know, new music is new music to your ears. So a band that released something like 15, 20 years ago, so if it's the first time you've heard it, it's fresh.
You know, the best time, the funniest, one of the most sweetest moments I've ever had, and one of the things that rang true with this is my eldest, when he was like 12 years old, came up to me and said, Dad, you need to listen to something. Right? Listen to Led Zeppelin. And you know when they're 12 and you're thinking to yourself, I'm not going to stamp on your dreams. So I'm like, really? I will give it a listen.
Yeah.
And then I gave it a few weeks, obviously, and the penny dropped and he realised, oh, actually, these guys have been around for a long time.
Yeah.
And I pulled out a few albums and played them the albums. But it was one of those moments when you're kind of like, wow, 12-year-old kid discovering Led Zeppelin for the first time. Oh my God, how I'd love to have that feeling.
Isn't it amazing how the whole system has changed so quickly over so few years? I was involved in management and a bit of agency for bands sort of back in the 80s and 90s, and in the days when you hawked a song literally, physically, round the record companies and got a few choice words and sort of thrown out of the door.
Yeah.
But in those days, of course, the only way really to make it big is if you got in the UK chart.
Mm-hmm.
If you're in the chart, your aim was to get number one, but now you've got such a wide variety
of
platforms.
There's hundreds of charts as well.
It's totally, that's right.
But, and you can do it. You can do it. There's an act, I think they're Brentwood-based, called Where Rivers Meet. I don't know if you've heard them. They're a husband and wife duo, and they're blues, but they did incredibly well to get themselves in. I think they became number one in the blues charts, and they got recognised by the BBC as well, and they've done all of this off their own backs, and they create fantastic music, and they look great, they sound great, and they've done this themselves. And there's another punk band as well, whose name escapes me, and they a friend of mine was telling me about them. I can't remember them now. But again, got themselves number seven in the next song, and it's all off their own backs, you know. And this is the kind of stuff, when I was in my first band, or not first band, but one of the earlier bands, the Marenas, we were just really bullshy about. We had a lot of belief, and we wouldn't take no for an answer, and we were loud and very punky, and I had great musicians. I mean, the drummer and the bass player in that band, Steve Wilson and Tim Jackson, kind of wrote the book on their instruments. So, you know, when you've got a rhythm section like that behind you, you can do no wrong. And we were the musicians' band, so musicians would come and watch us play, you know, which was, I found, really difficult, because you got no interaction from the audience. Because everybody's either uber critical or just blown away, or to the degree where they're just standing there watching. So I found it difficult as someone who wrote melodies and was very passionate in my performances. I wanted to affect people more, but I forgot my point now, but anyway, it was wonderful to be part of that, and I think it's possible to get to that point with as an independent artist, where you can produce your stuff, release your stuff, and get into a chart. And again, you know, these things kind of are, it's like releasing a book. If you release a book around February time, it's the shortest month, and most authors don't release in February. So you have a very good chance of being low numbers but still hitting high rankings. So these things, you know, you can study them. There's lots of information online about the best times to release songs, about time of the month you should release, about the processes that go behind releasing it. So you can manipulate that.
So much information. It can be mind-blowing sometimes when you're going, don't mention the name of the song. Just put out little clips, but don't say what it's about. Mm. Don't do a pre-save, because nobody does them anymore.
Yeah.
There's so much info. And also, I've noticed as well, I don't know if Rihanna, one of the big sort of American singers, are actually, they're in discussion to do digital gigs. So we say digital, what I mean is virtual. That's another way, because obviously with big artists like that, they make millions when they do gigs. If you're looking at little bands like further down that are quite famous, they actually lose money probably doing a tour. So that's the next thing that we'll do. We'll have people like Beyonce, people like Rihanna, maybe Coldplay, actually doing gigs online that you can basically go on and watch them online rather than actually going to a concert. Coldplay have already done something similar to that.
Further back, the Chili Peppers did something like that, and it was a cinema thing. So I remember taking my son, who was really, really little, to the Odeon in town and watch a live performance of the Chili Peppers playing in California.
Yeah.
And it was just spread around the world. And it was one of those concerts where they're like, it was the most attended concert. Of course it was, because it was in every theatre from here to wherever. So yeah, there are loads of scope for doing that, the live performance. I do a thing on a Wednesday. I haven't done it this year yet. I'm going to start it again. But I do a thing on a Wednesday where I do the songwriting thing, and I'll just do it from my little studio at home, live performance, and people will chirp in and ask questions or criticise, or, you know, we'll pull songs apart and that kind of stuff. And it gets really good numbers. It's kind of like you're replacing the sort of modern-day TV schedule, as it were, just giving people the option to clock in on something like that. So yeah, there's longevity in that as an idea.
And rather than buy your coffee, buy a song, go on to Bandcamp. A lot of the musicians that are on this show have Bandcamp. You can pay £1 for a song, or you can pay £10 for a song if you like it, or you can order a CD. Although people don't have CDs, you're getting a physical copy that might be signed and all sorts of bits and pieces, and that's another great way to support musicians. Now, you're going to do another track for us.
Yes, and rather than do the single which you've been playing, I thought I might do something different. Should I do that? A new one?
Yes. I thought Bob was going to start joining in then for a second.
Do
you think comfortable? No, thank God.
Right, so this is if we get closer around Christmas time, I'll come back and play the Christmas version of this, because I've got Christmas lyrics for this.
Yeah.
But I've never really done it. It just happened to have that kind of thing. So.
And what's the song called?
This is called I Miss You.
Just a lonesome boy, tough and tall, needs a steady hand to prevent his fall. She gave a little love, she got a whole lot more. When they came together, you hear the voices soar, they drown streets and hall. Harmonies light up childhood memories for everyone. For everyone. The tales of feats that led not meet by the fire while the old folks sleep, waiting for the moment they could slip away. And looking in her eyes, you can hear them say, I miss you. They make the sweetest noise. Well, on a Friday night, they can always be found. Mixing up a melody, you just follow the sound. They would drown the streets in harmonies, light up childhood memories for everyone. Tales of feats, the late night meets, sitting by the fire while the old folks sleep, waiting for the moon so they could slip away, and looking in her eyes you can hear him say, just loosen the noose to
it to the skies. You can still hear those tunes. Oh, the sweetest of rhythms and the deepest of blues. They would drown the streets in harmonies, light up childhood memories for everyone. Everyone. Tales of feats and late night meets, sitting by the fire while the old folks sleep, waiting for the moment we could slip away. Looking in her eyes, you can hear him say, oh, I've missed you. Ooh, I miss passing out on the kitchen floor. So much more to be
That is Paolo Morena there, also known as the Mighty Small. And you will find him across social media everywhere. He's on TikTok, he's on Facebook, he's on Instagram, and he's on Bandcamp as well if you want to download any of his music. And he's on Spotify. The best thing is, if you like a track, go and buy it, because it helps musicians be able to record and make future music.
He's on my website as well, which is firstnamelastname.com. So Paolo, P-A-O-L-O, Morena, M-O-R-E-N-A.com.
There we go. That was amazing. Thank you. So always classy.
Always fun to be here and always lovely to see you. So thanks for having me.
And have you got any gigs coming up? Yes. Or is that something
actually, if you want, sponsored at the United Brethren, the UB, on the 16th of March, under the teepee. They've got a big teepee in their garden, so under the teepee.
Yeah.
It's free to get in, and if you come along, you can scan the QR code that I'll have down there with me, and you'll get a free copy of the gig.
Brilliant.
So a free video and free audio of me playing.
What day is that again?
It's the 16th of March, Saturday.
Yep.
And then if you're really into it, you come and see me between 8 and 10 o'clock, and then hot foot it round the corner to the hot box where you can catch my cousin Joe DJing at 11 o'clock till 1 in the morning.
Oh, that's brilliant. Yeah. Chelmsford,
it's a family affair.
Isn't Chelmsford? I mean, I love Brentwood as well, but Chelmsford has got such a
We're
great...
We're getting there.
Yeah, we like hot box. We were there at the weekend, weren't
it's
we?
It's a really good venue.
And
John and the guys at the hot box are doing really well, keeping that place open, so you support your local venues. It's massive.
And UB as well, another great place.
Another great
really nice beers and wine in there. And
they've got a teepee in the garden, which I can't stress enough. It's just amazing.
It's just one teepee. If there's one, you'll get two tents.
Yeah.
Oh, no. Thank you very much. You can hear more from Roy on a Thursday. It's lovely to see you so much. Let's give another round of applause.
Thank you very much.
And that is Paolo Morena, the Mighty Small, checking that online. Right, we've got some ads, and we're going to have the question of the day. A lot of you kind of, well, just answering a question, really, which was really something that Scott Ross asked me to put up online. I'm not going to blame him. I decided to do it myself. But the question of the day, should a man who identifies as a woman who is found guilty of a crime go to a women's prison or not? Now, it's not that simplistic. That question's quite simplistic, but I have got quite a few answers in, so I want to make sure that everybody gets their little bit of their time. So I'll be reading those out in the next couple of minutes.
For Brentwood and Billericay, this is Phoenix FM.
At Active Signs and Designs Limited, our team are passionate about getting you noticed. First impressions are everything. So if you're driving a commercial vehicle, how will people see you? Our vehicle traffic products and well-designed signage can make you stand out from the crowd. Give the team a call on 01708 343-555 or visit us at activesignsanddesigns.co.uk and start getting your business noticed today.
Strictly Air Ambulance is back, and so am I, Lisa Snowden, and my fabulous co-host, TV presenter, David Whiteley. Join us and our celebrity judges, Strictly's Nadia Bichkova and Carl Widrington, as contestants and their professional dance partners compete for the Strictly Air Ambulance Glitter Ball on Saturday the 9th of March at the Brentwood Centre. All profits go to Essex & Hearts Air Ambulance, your local life-saving charity. For tickets, search Essex & Hearts Air Ambulance Strictly.
The team at St Francis Hospice are challenging you to get outdoors and make a difference by taking on the Walk 100 Challenge. Simply walk 100K in March, in your own time and at your own pace. All in aid of your local hospice. Visit the St Francis Hospice Facebook page. You can find all the details you need and sign up for the Walk 100 Challenge.
Phoenix FM.
Suede with Trash. It's just coming up to 12:53. Bob will be taking over in a while. But we do have to go through some of the answers to the question of the day. Now, I put this question out there, and it was came through actually from the one and only Scott Ross. He said, why don't you do this question? I said, oh, I could do, but, you know, I wasn't too sure. But I'm glad that I did, because I've got quite a few answers in. So, should a man who identifies as a woman or found guilty of a crime go to a woman's prison? Now, I know it's not as probably as simple as that, but that's the way that the question was put. So I wanted to read out a few of the answers. So first off, we've got, let's have a look. I'll go from all comments. There we go. Look. We've got Matt said, "Oh, Michelle, why engage with this hateful debate?" And I put down that it was no way, it was in no way meant to be a hate-filled debate. It is a debate, and I've got a very mixed group of friends, family, and people that listen to the show on my socials, which I think if you look at the replies on Facebook, you will be able to see. So Bob Simpson said, "Totally agree." Thanks for Bob. Christopher said to Matt, "Debates like this are important. I haven't seen anyone on this thread to be hate-filled." Ashley said, "If he, she has a lower appendage, then no." Mel JB came back with this. She's very, I like Mel. I haven't seen her for ages, so thanks for joining in. "Tricky. I think if the person still has relevant male physical attributes," very well said, "then they should be with males. Perhaps there needs to be a review of the standardised approach to these issues. I understand people may identify differently from the physical characteristics their bodies have, but equally, there needs to create and retain spaces solely for the people who are physically female, identify as such, and wish not to share a space with people who are physically male. People can identify however they like and should be able to live as they please, as long as they're not harming others. If their behaviour is such that they need to be in prison, the consideration of well-being of the majority of those in prison need to apply." And I think Mel absolutely there nailed it on the head with that. With, I think, the way the majority of people who are on my page and who I know would agree. Christopher said, "Well done to Mel." Mel also said, "I think it's a complex issue, and I'm not against people identifying or presenting however they wish to, but the balance has to be personal safety. From purely a physical perspective, women who are incarcerated are not likely to want to be in prison with someone who is physically male, regardless of how they identify and present themselves. However, equally, someone who is physically male but presents and identifies as a female is going to feel protected and safe in a wholly, who's not going to feel protected and safe in a wholly male institution." Mel, again, Christopher said, "I agree." Spencer said, "If someone has fully transitioned, they should go to the relevant facility for their current gender. If they haven't, then they should be in their original gender. On a separate note, I cannot fathom anyone feels they have the right to comment on somebody transitioning and tell them what gender they are. If it's not affecting you or disturbing you, go about your life and alone." Ian River says, what if he identifies as an innocent person but should be set free?" Well, there is that point. Scott said, "This has lit a fuse, hasn't it?" Thank you, Scott. Angela said, "They would need to be segregated as dangerous for them in prison if they actually go into a prison, if they went into a male prison as a female." I'm not sure how that works, actually. Maria Barnes said, "Absolutely not. How can him going to a female prison be actually right in anyone's mind?" Nigel said, "This has opened a can of worms." Carol said, "No. In a women's prison, enough emotional issues to deal with, and not just to let them, they have to be protected." Lorraine said, "No, male prison 100%. Paula said, "No, born a male prison." And I've got so many others, but Bob's coming up next, so I might have to read out some more of your answers tomorrow, because you've got some really good points there. Go along to Eat My Brunch on Facebook and you'll find all the details. Bob, quickly, what's coming up on your show?
Oh, well, today mainly I'm going to be talking to Sue Shaper from U3A, find out all about the U3A movement and what they do locally. All the usual features, lots of good music, and me talking rubbish for 2 hours.
Lovely. Going to leave you with Miley Cyrus. This is Jaded. Thanks very much to my guest, Paola Moret. And also to Roy Tysak. Starts a new show next week. You can keep tuned because Bob's coming up next.
I don't want to talk too long. I know it was wrong, but never said I'm sorry. Now I've had time to think it over. Well, my shoulder and the bone's too big to bury. Now and I have
jump in the car and they're down at the body of blurry. Don't know when to stop, so you take it too far. I know where you are and I'm left in the dark till I'm worried. Oh, it hurts me.
On the hour across Brentwood and Billericay. This is Phoenix FM News.